If you would stand with us tonight, we're going to honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 2. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. Boy, we had a great preacher's meeting here last night. We'll be having that meeting every first Tuesday night of the month at 7:30. You're welcome to come. We sure do have some mighty good preaching. And just have a great time in the Lord. The Revelation chapter 2 verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. I've noticed that I guess it's good and it is bad. But most of the time that messenger or that passenger, that pastor is one of the first ones to know what the Lord's wanting to happen if he's in tune with the Lord. So he wrote to that angel. It means messenger. Every church ought to have a messenger. And every church ought to have a message. And every church ought to have a ministry. I know a lot of messengers without a message. Oh, we need a message in this day, in this hour. American people will soon find out that money's not a cure-all. Money didn't mess all this up. Morals did. We live in a day of bailout programs. Like what Brother Mike said, it's coming a great bailout program. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the cloud. Oh, what a blessed day when He bails us out of all of this. But He said He is writing to that angel of the church of Ephesus. These things saith He that holdeth the seven stars in His right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He said, I know thy works. We won't hide nothing from Him. And I know about your labor, and I know about your patience, and how you can't bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them out to be liars. You've borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. But nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, we spoke before about that little phrase about where we've left it. Big difference in losing something and leaving it. I left my handkerchief at home tonight. No, right where it is. I didn't lose it. So that lets me know I can go back and pick it up again. But if I've lost it, honey, I don't know how to get back to it. But He said this, you've left your first love and you really know how to get back to where it is. If you want to get back to where it is. And this is what He said. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Don't hear much of that in the Baptist churches no more. And do the first works or else. I'll come to you quickly. I'll remove your candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Thank you for standing tonight. I'm interested in verse number 5. He said, remember therefore, and I want to preach on this simple thought tonight. Remember when. Remember when. Now in each letter that the Lord wrote to the seven churches, He wrote about what He thought about their church. He wrote about what He saw in their church. And He always penned down what He expected out of their church. He approved many times the positives, but always rebuke the negative. I want to say tonight that the spiritual life of any church depends on the individual life of its members. I want to say that again. The spiritual life of any church depends on the individual life of its members. This church is no brighter. This church is no holier. This church is no more separated than what its members are. We are Liberty Baptist Church tonight. The Lord Jesus is the head, the builder, the founder, the one that makes it all happen. We're nothing but the little branches tonight that runs out off of the vine. For without Him, we can do nothing. I'm more convinced tonight in 20 years of preaching than I've ever been. Without Him, we can do nothing. You see, this church was founded by the Apostle Paul. He went out preaching in the book of Acts, and God done many miraculous things here at Ephesus. This church now, in the writing, was about 30 years old. This church had went from a church that was so wrapped up in the Lord Jesus that it got very wrapped up in their self. Now, he writes some 30 years later. He says this, their passion was gone out of their worship. Their zeal had gone out of their service. And their joy had gone out of their heart. Quite simply, tonight the honeymoon was over. They had lost the wonder of it all. They had lost the wonder of it all. As Brother Carl sung tonight, I don't know why he had saved something like me. I am amazed at the boys that I was running with. How many already have died and went to an eternal hell without Christ? You say, preacher, why do you say that? Because, honey, their life never manifested a Christ of this Bible. If you reject Christ tonight, hell will be your home. Bible said you better hear this old preacher tonight. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Honey, you can't run around and live like the devil. You can't live a lifestyle like this old world forever. You can't do wrong and get by if you're a child of God. I want to say tonight, a missionary wrote this. The tragedy of life is not in a hurt to a man's name, or even in the fact of a man's death. But the tragedy of life is what dies inside a man while he lives. A great tragedy tonight of the modern day Christian. It seems that the fires went out. We've lost the wonder of it all. No longer do we blush at sin. We've accommodated the lifestyles of Sodom and Satan and society. We brought it into the church house. And no wonder tonight we can't shout and praise the God of Zion tonight. I believe with all of my heart, it's a terrible thing for a man to live, but his life inside has died. I want to talk about four things tonight out of this text, and I'll be done. Number one, I want to talk about a report to look by. A report to look by. I'm glad he pinned some things down in our Bible. He said, I know your works, verse 2, and your labor. You're working good, and you're real patient. Why, you can't even bear them which are evil. We want to have this great thing about us being an independent, fundamental, God-fearing, devil-hating Baptist, but we forget about many times why we come to church. I know your works and your labor and your patience. how you can't bear them, which are evil. You've tried them and say that they're apostles and not, and you found them out to be liars by the book. You've borne, you got patience for my name's sake, you've labored, and you've not fainted. He said, you're working your fingers to the bone. But he said, beside all that, I got somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. A report to look by. Aren't you glad that when you get to running off track, God's got a report to look by? Aren't you glad He's got the golden rule? It's not the Roberts rule of order. A lot of my good Baptist brethren, Brother David, they think the Roberts rule of order is the Bible. It ain't the Bible. This is the Bible. And it's a King James Bible. It ain't just any Bible. It's a King James Bible. 1611 version. I was preaching here one morning. I said the King James Bible is the only Bible we go by. A man stood up, looked at his wife, grabbed his young and shook his head, said, this ain't the church for me. Honey, let me tell you tonight, there's one Bible, there's one Holy Ghost, there's one Christ, there's one way to do it tonight, and it's by the Bible, friend. I say, if you don't like a King James church, you're in the wrong church tonight. This was good enough for Grandma, Grandpa. It's good enough for it got me saved. It got a Felton saved. It got a Brad saved. Got a Dennis saved. It got a Wendell saved. Glory to God. It'll still get the job done tonight, friend. We don't need a new Bible. We need to live out of the one He wrote to us. Oh, my Lord, how we need this book to line us up in our lives, something to live by. Oh, preacher, what are you talking about? A report to learn by. Hey, if you're looking at a Christian tonight, you're not looking at a tall enough standard. You say, well, preacher, I do pretty good. You got a big temper. Yeah, but I got a big God. One good thing about preachers with a big temper, they ain't wimpy. Somebody say amen right there. I think that temper's good long as it's tempered. Be ye angry and sin not. I'm going to chew your hide out and smile at you every mile of the way. Whoa, I'm telling you tonight, we have a report to learn by. Ain't you glad you got the... Boy, I love preaching tonight. Hello. Ain't you glad you got a Bible to learn by tonight? Listen to me. It ain't what Baptists think about you. It ain't what everybody thinks about you. It's what the God of this Bible says about you tonight. A report to look by. Number two... Verse 5, there's a remembrance to learn by. This is what he said. First time he put it in there, remember. This is a Bible word, and it means a little different what you think. It means to keep on remembering. A ongoing process, daily remembering. Now, it does us good to remember something. You know, he was singing about, Lord, you supplied each one of our needs. I can remember the time that I had one suit to my name. I can remember a time that I couldn't pick what car we could drive to church in. I can remember the time when we didn't have these nice pews to sit. Honey, I started out with a group of people with a little old air conditioner put in a little old block wall that was a pumping and a priming. I've left the little place with my socks wet for the glory of God. We'd always had a dial on the wall or a basement downstairs or Sunday school to spare or 10,000 foot auditorium. We'd always had these things tonight, friend. But there's a God of the Bible that smiled on us down at Liberty Baptist, sir. Boy, he smiled at him. And I'm going to tell you, it does us good to remember a lot of times where we've come from. A lot of times we get way too big for our britches. That's what's wrong with Baptist folk tonight. They think they do God a favor to come to His church. Listen to me. Put it in your Bible, honey. You ain't done Him a favor to get here tonight. He done you a favor to get you out of hell and put you in a Bible church tonight. You ought to thank God. Cinderella ain't up preaching. Yeah. Little praise team with their pom-poms are shaking tonight. Amen. Some of you need to get back to some amens that help you. Maybe you ought to turn around and ask your wife. Maybe she'll let you say amen. You hen-pecked rascal. You ought to turn around and tell him tonight, wife, it's okay, baby, say amen. A remembrance to learn by. It means keep on remembering. Now, notice something. The Bible refers to Christ and His church as the bride of Christ. The Bible says that we are to treat our wives as Christ loves the church who gave Himself for it. And certainly, we are the bride. He's the bridegroom. Oh my, I got to notice there's something about this thing of remember. You know, basically what happened to this church is just like the church I pastor. The honeymoon was over. I ain't the preacher I used to be to some of you because you done heard everything I got to say. I've noticed that some of you, your wife, you think she ain't as pretty as she was 20, 30, 40 years ago, honey. But let me tell you, she's the same woman that you said, till death do I part. I notice it's a great correlation between our marriage and what's going on with the Lord Jesus. Honeymoon's over. But the same Jesus. The same wife, same husband. And so I got the pinning down in my private time this morning. Some of you are going to wish I quit my job when I get on with this sermon. In my private altar time this morning, the Holy Ghost began to feed me with something that I believe will help our church tonight. I've noticed in this thing, there's a great thing of how that we can relate this courting in marriage. I just want to ask you something. Did anybody here see your spouse the first time and say, I do? No. You was courted. I'm sorry, but you didn't get that. You dated. And I noticed something when we begin to work in our courtship behavior and something that we do in marriage, it's totally different. I mean, it's amazing. But I want to relate this thing tonight about a remembrance to learn by. I want to ask you, can we stroll down memory lane a few minutes tonight? I want to ask you something. How many here has been married less than 5 years? Let me see your hand tonight. I'm going to get you boys in trouble. Let me get a little better now. Anybody been married less than 10 years? Raise your hand tonight. Anybody been married more than 10? Raise your hand tonight. Boy, that's good. I'm glad I got the right message tonight. I want to notice and I want to show you this. In your courtship days, do you remember when you used to read letters? We was cleaning out the attic the other day and the girls were sort of a-gooing in a guide over how me and Miss Renee used to pass letters. Honey, I was 233 miles. It was a great day when I seen the mailman come down where I lived and seen an address from Bowden, Georgia on the return slip. I'd run to my room and I'd open up that old love letter and I'd begin to read it. Old sparks would begin to fly. I'd get goo-goo out. I'd say, hallelujah, thank God, I've got me somebody that's a-writing to me. When's the last time you got that old love letter? When's the last time that you stole away? Say, God, it was wrote for me. Dear God, how we need this old love letter back in our heart. They got to saying, Mama, you loved Daddy, didn't you? You better know she still loves Daddy tonight. What are you saying? 233 miles, honey. We communicated by letter. Oh, this Bible's not out of date tonight. It tells me about the one that loves me. The one that drew me by His mercies and by His grace. One that took me just the way I was, that loves me in spite of myself. Oh, do you remember the day when you read those letters? Can you remember the day when you used to talk all night by phone? Out in the country, we had them old dial phones. My mama had a cord, Brother Randall, on that kitchen phone. It reached to you. You know what I'd done? Brother Dennis, the thing hung on the wall, and I'd call Miss Renee. Boy, I remember the number. Air code 770-258-2339. My mama said, boy, you've run my phone bill up over $100 this month, talking long distance. Brother Wendell, I'd grab that phone. I'd run out. We had two block steps at that old house, and I'd pull that phone cord real tight, Brother David. I'd close the door, and I'd sit down on them steps, and I'd go to talking to one that I loved so much that I couldn't get over where she was, but it sure was good to hear from her. When's the last time, honey, that you dialed the right number and got into glory land and got to talk to somebody that you loved a lot, but you ain't seen in a long, long time? Oh, Lord is wonderful. Mama, bless her heart. Mama and Daddy didn't have a lot. She'd crack a door, I think, in long-distance phone. We didn't know what a cell phone was. I don't know, it was probably 30 cents a minute. She'd crack a door, she'd say, "Hun, about time you say bye now. Hun, about time you hang up now." You say, "How come?" Because she is paying the bill. Way some of you young'uns do your mama and daddy. Amen. Oh, when's the last time you got on your knees and prayed? Well, my church members called me this week. And it was early in the morning. He said, "Pastor, I want to ask you something. Having a problem." He said, have you prayed yet?" I sure, Brother David. Oh, Lord, Brother David, I'm glad I can say it. Yes, I have. Yes, I've been in my altar and I prayed for you. I prayed for our church and I prayed for me. Oh, Lord, how we need to get back to talking to the one that we love the most. I wonder if I took an inventory tonight of today. How many hours in this assembly will we have of praying? Oh, I'm going to tell you why we've lost the power in our churches. Because we've neglected to pray. The Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and seek my face and pray, I'd hear from heaven and heal their land." Honey, it don't matter who's in the White House about that. Christians been outnumbered ever since Christians got started. God would hear our prayers. And you listen to this old preacher tonight. Prayer does change things tonight. It changed me. And it'll change you. No, Moses come off the mountain. He'd been the Lord. And he had to put a veil on because his face shone so brightly. The Bible said the Lord Jesus went on Mount Transfiguration. And the glory of Him changed. And He shone the face as white as fuller's soap. Tonight, if we could just get in the presence of God, how it would change us in our life. Have you prayed today? When's the last time that you've talked to the one that you love? We read letters. We talked on phone. We took private walks together. Boy, I can remember a lot of times, me and my wife, we didn't have to go to Outback. We didn't have to go out to Applebee's. We just took a walk together. It'd do some of you good to listen. This is a two-part series tonight. This is about the home and about getting our church right. You getting double for your money tonight. We thought of them often. Lord, how many times I was working a third shift job going to high school. I'd go in at 11 o'clock at night, get off at 7 and go to school. I'd get off about lunch, go home, lay down, go back to work at 11 o'clock. Worked in that old shift. I was working at a bread bag factory. My job was carry 5-gallon buckets of ink, pour them in a vat. Boy, every night, Brother David, seemed like I was pouring that bucket. I was waiting on Thursday night to get off. Friday morning, you know where I was headed, honey? Bowden, Georgia, just fast as I could get down here. How come? Because I was thinking of her often. You know something? It'd do you good if you think about him through the week. You might want to come to church on Sunday. You might want to come to church on Wednesday night. You go to thinking about him. You quit running, chasing this whirlwind. Some of you are running tonight. You done caught it. Now let me ask you what you got. You caught it. Now what you got? It got you, ain't it? Boy, it does good to think of him often. And then I noticed this. Not only did I think of her often, but I told others about her. I mean, everybody I seen, I was telling them about somebody that I love. I carried a picture with me everywhere I went. I get them boys, she and I say, hey boys, let me tell you something. You want to see the prettiest girl in Georgia? Here she is. Can I tell you, he's the fairest of all 10,000. I noticed something else I'd done when I was courting. When I was dating, I told others about them. I carried a picture of them. And then some of you, you may snicker and laugh tonight, but sometime I sung to her. I can't sing a lick, Brother Dennis, but I went through the motion. It'd do you good. Ain't you glad you met some men like Brother Carl Partain and that family that can sing to somebody that they love? It'd do you good when the man gets up and tells you, turn to page 57, honey, rear back, throw your shoulders back and your head up and sing for the glory of God tonight. He's worthy of our praise. He needs to be sung to. Don't you know he loves to be serenaded? What'd it do for you, lady? It'll do something for him tonight. Now, some of you think I'm all washed up. But I'm going to tell you something. I done found out something about the Holy Ghost. And I done found something about worshiping our Lord. Honey, it just don't happen by mistake. You've got to instigate worship. And so, oh, how we courted our loved one. And you know something? We sat with them and listened. I can remember how I would sit for an hour at a time. Just sitting out there under the tree on an old bench, just a-listening. How come? Because I was in love. When's the last time you've listened to what he had to say? I listened. And then I noticed this. I gave sacrificial things. Money was no expense. And that's the truth. I didn't have a lot, but I can tell you one thing. If I had it, it was no object. If I thought it pleased her, buddy. And you know something else I thought about? I was real emotional when I got to see her. Oh, I know some of you old tough boys, you ain't never cried a lick. You say, well, preacher, I don't worship, I'm not emotional. Is that right? Is that right? You're not emotional. You ever lost your temper in that emotion? You ever been in a ball game and shouted and hollered and clapped? Is that not emotion? You say, we got too many visitors to get excited. I don't want to get emotional. Somebody think I'm Baptist Costal. I'd hate to let somebody know that I enjoy Jesus. Why in the world would somebody want what you got the way you look? Look like you lost your best friend. Emotional. And I noticed something. You know, I've always been real emotional. You can ask my wife. I've been emotional. I cried a drop of the hat. Miss Sharon, we'd be dating. She had one of them Chevelles. It was white, had a red roof, had an automatic stick in the middle, and she is driving. We got down there in front of the college, and I said, "Hun, do you love me?" She said, "Yeah, I love you." And I got down there about McDonald's again. I said, "Hun, do you love me?" She said, "Yeah, I love you." I got down there about where they put in that new Mexican restaurant right across the line at the border. I said, "Hun, do you love me?" I'll never forget what she said. She said, "Hun, I done told you I love you, but I got to keep telling you I love you." "Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do." You know something? We ought to be telling him that we love him all the time. "Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I don't want to lose the wonder of you saving me. Oh, Lord." I was real emotional. And then I noticed this that I pinned down. I like these next two. I'm going to run. It was a public affair. Oh, it was a public affair. Come here, Mama. Come here. Come here. You just stay standing. I won't be long. Now, here's what I do in public. Y'all watch this. Is a public affair. Oh, it'd do you good if you let people out yonder know how good your Jesus was. It'd let people know that you hold His hand and you're glad to hold on to somebody that died for you one glorious day. And boy, you ready? You got your seatbelt fastened now. I'm supposed to blow you off the pew with this. I noticed when I was courting, I never did stand her up. Sunday's date day. Wednesday night's date night. Shake your head tonight. Now I just wonder if Miss Renee got ready. I said, "Honey, I'll be there at 7:30. "Honey, I'm going to beat that. I'm going to be at prayer room at 7:15. She gets all ready. She gets her hair fixed. And she gets her face all made. Gets her pocketbook out to match. She's looking out the window. She's looking at her watch. She's looking out the window. She says, "I know He's coming. Because we got this set date." I won't say it again. "Because we got this set date." I wonder if I left her on the porch a few nights, how she'd feel. Wonder if I left her on the porch a few nights, how she'd feel. I read today about the 11 or 12 top reasons why marriage is divorce. I'm going to share them and I'm going to be done. This is what they said. I didn't pin them all. For lack of audience. They said, number one of the reasons that marriages don't work out. Young couples, you need to listen to your preacher tonight. Lack of commitment to the marriage. It takes commitment. Commitment. You know what I found out about staying married? You want to be married? Then you gotta want to be married more than you want to be apart. And that's the end of the story. You can look at any excuse you want to. You can come to my house and tell me enough reasons why I need to leave her. And vice versa. But at the end of the deal going on, you know, 30 years, you know why we're together tonight? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has been the center of our home, and we've wanted to be together more than we wanted to be apart. Lack of commitment in the marriage. Number two was abandonment. You remember when Jesus looked at His disciples and said, "Will ye go also away?" And Peter said, "Lord, where can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." It amazes me the people that you pastor and they just walk out. I can't relate to that. Not even in church. No, I understand if God's done with you in a ministry and He moves you. I understand that. But I'm talking about this getting all your marbles and going to the house and quitting. I don't understand that. Abandonment. I don't realize these young punk boys that marry your little girl and then walk out when things get a little tough. Let me go and tell you right now, young man, it's going to get tough. It's going to get tough, but if your mom and daddy throw the towel in, then you ought to drop that trait and get you some glue in your britches. Abandonment. They just get tired and walk out. There's a real world. There's a real devil and real flesh. You know, most of the time the devil don't mess with us. We mess with us. Our flesh. Oh, carnal man. Abandonment. And then, this is what another one of the writers said. He said, infidelity. I want you to look at something like James 4 and 4. But don't you think for one minute our God ain't jealous. James 4, 4, infidelity. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You cannot court the world and God not be offended. You cannot play around with the harlots of this world, Christian, and please the God that's sitting on a throne. He'll not play second fiddle to nobody. He'll not have second best. He's not a co-pilot. He's God Almighty tonight. And He's still holy. And we go out yonder and we court this world through the week. Don't you think God gets upset? How can I be an adulterer, preacher? I can tell you how you can be an adulterer. You put anything before your God. Now, I'm sorry, but I'm fixing to get on down there where we live now. Now, I'm not sorry. I take that back. Do you think for one second you can go run around on your wife or your husband and not offend them and affect your relationship at home? Then you cannot go out and court this world and come in here and think the God of this Bible is going to meet with you. You've got to keep your life separated and holy and sanctified apart from this world. No, we're not better than nobody else. We're changed. Infidelity. Then, substance abuse. It's amazing what we get hooked on in this world, ain't it? Young kids, I'm going to go and hit that music while I'm here. Mom, Dad, you better. Now go and snicker you want to this old-fashioned preacher, but you better listen to what that crowd's listening to. If there's a Ouija board in your house, you ought to throw it as far as you can get it out across the trash pile. You're inviting devils into your house. substance abuse. Difference in personal and career goals. What he say? Do you know something? God wants you to be something. Why don't you just be what God wants you to be? Well, I'm going to leave him out and do what I want. Now you're going to land flat on your back. Financial problems. That's big on a marriage. Big on a relationship to the Lord. Some of you need to quit tipping and go to tithing. Oh, it's in the Old Testament. It sure is. But it come before the law. Abraham paid a tenth to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, before Moses was ever handed the law on Sinai. I want to show you what your Bible says tonight. Financial problem. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. I've heard this a lot. We can't afford to tithe. Let me give you some good counseling tonight as your pastor. You can't afford not to tithe. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given of an order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores. God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now I'm not running no rabbits tonight on money. I'm just saying financial problems is a big issue in homes. And so it is with the relationship with the Lord Jesus. God cannot bless you the way He can bless you if you withhold what's His. He said, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that what? There may be meat in my house. Financial problem. And by the way, we missed church Sunday, didn't we? What's our offerings here average? $7,500 a week? We ought to take up $15,000 here Sunday. Y'all look like you need some preaching back here. You don't think we ain't got bills on snow weeks? You think we don't support 20 missionaries on snow weeks? Gone, I ain't. Quit looking at the floor. It ain't time to pray right now. We ought to give faithfully to the Lord Jesus. And you know something? When we throw it in that plate, you know what we ought to say? It's yours, Lord. I heard of a woman one time painted a baptistry and they changed it and she asked for her money back. I'd give it to her. You think I wouldn't? I'd send it a nice love letter. Ain't that something? That's unbelievable. Well, I can tell it's 10 to 9 and your Barney show's fixing to come on. That's what's wrong with us now. Too many Barney shows. Not enough preaching. Boy, it gets quiet on money, don't it? I go to these churches, preach on money, and you wouldn't believe the looks I get. Can I say something I even hate? It's on the radio, Brother Carl. You know what a man told me that night? Brother Carl will tell you how he is out there. Every church ain't like Liberty Baptist Church. This is what they said. They said, Brother Ken, I don't know if your congregation realizes this or not, but you preach out of them. He said, the reason God's opening doors for you out preaching is because you're taking that church in Bowden, Georgia that He's built to other churches. And you ought to thank God that you've got a church that He wants to take out to other places. And I ain't letting one or two mess it up. You the boss, preacher? Probably. You run things. Say what you want. But I'll promise you this. I'm going to give you my commitment as your preacher tonight. I'll be sure you don't. I'll promise you that.
if I got to please you and you and you and you, we got us a carnival going on. And just because I know somebody gives a bunch of money, I don't want to know. Ask Brother Mike. You can ask Brother Mike. I don't want to know who gives in our church. Because when I walk over by their pew and I'm a hacking, I don't want nothing to mess up the hacking.
Right. Amen.
We all even, far as I'm concerned, if we're paying our tithes at the foot of the cross. That's why the system's fair. Amen. One of the top things, reason that marriages don't work and ministries die is because interference from parents or in-laws. How many times has your folks told you you're crazy? Brother Carl, won't you come? I want you to play something. When you get tired tonight, if you would, sir, I want to give an invitation in a minute to our church. Let me tell you something, friend. You go and you write this down. You hear this preacher tonight. If you get to where God wants you at and you get your family to where they can get some help, the devil's going to fight you for it. And your in-laws and mama ain't going to understand why you left their church they started. But I'm going to tell you by experience this. It'll get better. But don't think at the reunion they're going to call on you to lead prayer. But it'll get better. You know, we went up there at the couples retreat last week. I want to encourage every married person in this building, if to next year, if you can go, it's worth your time and effort to go. Had a man call me this week. He said, "Preacher, he's a pastor." He said, "God done so much for me at that. I can't describe to you what God done for my home at that service." I got Brother Randall. I got one of the best wives a preacher could ever hope to have. But I don't write her many letters no more. I don't sit on the back porch and talk to her, Miss Christine, an hour at a time no more. But shame on me. Because she's still my wife, the mother of my children, and he's my God tonight. You listen to me, Christian. You listen. I come here to say this tonight. Don't lose the wonder of it all. You know why people's been drawn to this ministry? Because it's something here. I said four things. I didn't know how the Lord would lead me tonight. There's a report to look by. It's a remembrance to learn by. It's a repentance to listen by. He said, repent. And go back to what you is doing. It's a return to live by. I won't say this, I'm going to give off to God. Liberty Baptist Church, we don't need a memorial here of the past. But we need a ministry of great power. You know the only way we're going to have a ministry of great power to put Him where He needs to be on the throne of our heart first. I said something at the preacher's meeting last night. What gets me here? When I don't feel like coming, what gets me? When I don't feel like praying, what gets me to pray? It's love, Brother Gerald. It's a love. You know what I got to get you people? I got to get y'all in love with this Jesus. If I can get you in love with Jesus, you won't care if I'm here preaching or not. If I can just get you in love with Him. If I can get you in love with Him, you'll quit squawking. You'll forgive each other. You'll love your wife and love your husband. Remember when? Remember when He drew you by His love and you was under conviction? Remember when He saved you and you told everybody? It can still be that way. Because He said it could be. Repent and do those first things, or else. Listen to me. Or else. I'm going to remove your candlestick. That light that's been to a community is going out. And you're going to be a memorial of the past. Don't care what kind of preacher you got. What you need tonight. Boy, I love you. I wish you knew. I really do. Heaven will tell you one day. But you know something? Some of you tonight, you need to get your heart right with God. Some of you need to come up and say, Lord, I'm sorry and mean it. And God, I need a fire burning. God, I want to see people won. I want to see people get saved. I want to see lives changed. I want to see my home helped. What you need tonight?